This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The third of May, you're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, also Sherrod Kutin and Julian Ng, who's back. Coming up in the next half an hour, we're going to be discussing all the biggest business news of the day, including the inventor of Bitcoin has finally been revealed. An Australian entrepreneur, Craig Wright, has publicly identified himself as Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto. Now, his admission follows years of speculation about who came up with the original ideas for the cryptocurrency. Here he is, Craig Wright, explaining why he finally decided to reveal himself as the creator of Bitcoin.
I didn't decide. I had people decide this matter for me. And they're making life difficult, not for me, but my friends, my family, my staff. And they want to be private. They don't want all of this to affect them. None of it's true. There are lots of stories out there that have been made up. And I don't like it hurting those people I care about. I'm not looking for money. And this is one comment I want to make to people. I don't want money. I don't want help. If anyone puts me up for awards or anything like that, I will never, ever accept a cent. Ever.
Wow, Craig Wright there, outing himself as the founder, the creator of Bitcoins. Why is he so defensive?
Well, you know, he was actually investigated by the Australian Tax Office back in December. If it is true that he is indeed Satoshi
Nakamoto,
right? How can I forget the name? I mean, this is one of the biggest news in the geek world. You know, the founder of Bitcoin, who had remained anonymous for a half a decade now. I mean, if he is indeed the guy, he would have about $450 million worth of Bitcoins. And that's why I think the ATO is interested.
Wow.
Well, this other thing, I mean, there are two things in his clip. He says he didn't out himself. I mean, it wasn't voluntary.
It wasn't voluntary.
Right. And so there's that. I'm also on a very kind of unimportant level. I just say, well, why did he choose a Japanese name as his nom de plume, his pseudonym? I mean, that seems curious.
It's called misdirection, Sherrod.
Oh, it's misdirection.
Yeah, I think that's that was one of the excuses he gave. But also, I guess, if you read between the lines, there is currently a war, kind of a virtual war going on in the Bitcoin world that will, I guess, change the fortunes of Bitcoin holders quite radically, which is that there is one camp that want to expand the usage of Bitcoins and the other one that wants to limit the supply of Bitcoin. And Wright is in the camp of the expansionary camp. He wants to make sure Bitcoin is as ubiquitous as possible.
I'm a little on the fence about Bitcoins. I don't know whether I think they are a good thing or they may be a bad thing. Maybe because the things that I've been reading in the news and in some of my social media streams seems to suggest that Bitcoins could be tied to more nefarious activities, things like ransomware and you know, hacking of computers. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, the technology that goes underneath Bitcoins is all about anonymity and security because they've come up with this idea of blockchain. And blockchain is a mathematical rule that you have to solve before you can either trade in Bitcoins or you can mine Bitcoins. And if you manage to solve certain rules, you then get involved in the process, or there I say it, the industry of mining for Bitcoins, right? And the idea initially was very appealing to people because it had some democratic value to it. Anyone can go out there and mine for money, and you really tick yourself out of the monetary system. You take yourself out of the control and management of central banks around the world. But now, today, whether or not that is a good thing, because central banks have an overview of the economy, they can take care of the economy, or they can actually create disasters for the economy because they have these bust and boom interest rate decision. And as we now see it today, a lot of money is being issued. We have the problems of negative interest rates. So these guys initially want to take them out of the system. But as you mentioned, Melissa, today it's ended up in very shady circumstances, you can trade basically anything with bitcoins, including drugs and other illegal services. And if you subscribe to the idea that money is actually neutral, then why should you not be allowed to trade in those things? So the arguments go.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that if it's a currency, it's precisely that kind of neutrality, right? It's just creating a kind of common platform for people who otherwise would have to barter things. And so, you know, whether it's chickens or it's a diamond, you know, or diamond tiara, it doesn't really matter.
So I think this idea of cryptocurrency is extremely interesting because who knows, sometime down the road, we may actually come up with the idea using technology to promote barter. Because right now, barter is very hard to carry out. And as we know, in the past, money as a form of fiat had to replace barter purely for convenience sake. But with technology today, can we go back to ideas of barter? And we really barter with each other. We take ourselves out of the economic and monetary system. How do you tax barter? You know, when you exchange a car for two cows, for instance, how is that taxed? Is that profit or is that loss, right?
Yeah, and probably 2¾ of a cow, actually. And I think this is going to be the problem, right? So if you want the cows not to be a carcass, but in fact a living cow, how do you have divisions of cow, you know, and which, you know,
maybe just a sirloin steak.
Yeah, see, this is where money is actually superior because it allows those divisions, not infinite, but, you know, a good number of permutations that allow you to come close to the pricing of that object, right?
Well, speaking about currency, do you think then, I mean, I'm just looking at headlines here about gold hitting a 15-month high. It's hit above $1,300 per ounce. And whether that has been because people are seeing more demand in gold?
To me, gold has all the hallmarks of Bitcoin, right? Gold was the original Bitcoin, in my opinion, because you need to mine for it. Same thing, the supply is limited. There are groups of people who want to limit the supply of Bitcoin so that it has some notion of value. And what is gold? What gives gold its value? It's confidence, right? Because you can't eat gold. You can't put it in your car to fuel gold. Why does gold has that kind of value? It's the kind of confidence and value that people have imputed into gold.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's pretty. It's sparkly. It does, in fact, have some uses. I mean, especially in the ancient world, some real everyday uses. And so, that's probably part of the origins of the value of gold, right? Its malleability as a metal and such.
Yeah, I think people want to hold gold just for security purpose because gold has hit 13-month high.
Is
18-month high, is that? Oh, no, 15-month high. Because we're hitting also of highs here.
That's right. $1,300 an ounce.
But it's very, I think it's a very weird situation because if you hold gold, is really what the currency that you convert into. If you convert into US dollar, then you would have made a lot of money over the past year or so. But if you convert it in ringgit, and not so much because the US dollar has weakened slightly against the ringgit. It's really all about the currency you convert into. So really, gold is a kind of a financial strategy that really applies to people with a lot of money. They want to hold that for security purposes.
Well, speaking about all things currency, the Japanese yen hit a fresh 18-month high against the dollar, and the finance minister actually warned that this is a very worrying sharp rise.
I think they are talking about whether this is the death of Abenomics. If you guys remember, Abenomics was created to take Japan out of 2 decades of deflation. They call them the lost decade. And Abenomics really was the purpose of which is to inject hyperinflation into the economy so that the economy can grow. But now they have actually reached, according to the Japanese Prime Minister, reached very worrying levels, and the degree with which they can print money is now really limited, and they're worried about what is going to happen.
Yeah, we spoke to Mikio Kumada from LGT Capital Partners, and he has weighed in on the stronger yen derailing Abenomics to stimulate growth.
No, I would disagree with that. And actually, Mr. Kuroda just a couple of days ago stated that himself too, that the monetary easing is not a doesn't aim and doesn't guarantee a weaker currency. I think monetary policy should be mainly about money supply and making sure that the domestic economy is supplied well and that people in the domestic economy get the message about monetary policy, and the currency can do whatever it wants or whatever markets want.
So that was Mikio Kumada. He's obviously on the camp that the strong Japanese yen doesn't really derail Abenomics, but I guess he is against the tide of views out there, including those of the Bank of Japan, who had been recently forced to retreat from further emergency stimulus called helicopter money, right? Governor Haruhiko Kuroda dash hopes of helicopter money, yeah. Even saying that this is kind of illegal. And I think overall, it's very risky to flood the economy with money and just eke out that, you know, few percentage points of growth.
7:46 now, more business news coming up after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.